Today we continue our study that we've been doing on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. In other words, verses that stick out, and we want to spend just a little bit of time of looking at them. And the thing I love about the Word of God, it's alive. And if you've been saved, been a Christian for any length of time, you can attest to the fact that as you read it from Genesis to Revelation, and you keep going through the Bible time and time again, you see things that you've never seen before, amen, as you the Holy Spirit guides and directs you. So we've been in the book of Psalms, and we want to turn to Psalm 45 and look at verses 6 and 7. The Word of God has this to say: Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And what I want us to see about these verses is this. These verses here are pointing to Christ in his coming millennial kingdom. Amen. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Amen. Referring to the throne. Jesus Christ will sit upon the throne. Amen. As King of kings and Lord of lords. And he will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Amen. Now let's turn to Psalm 46, verse number 1. The Word of God has this to say: God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Well, this is a great memory verse and a great precious promise in the Word of God, amen, to remember. God is our refuge, amen. You can go to God anytime. He will protect you. He will keep you safe. Amen. He will go through the trial and tribulation with you. And he is your strength. He will give you the strength each and every day to get through that day, to get through whatever crisis or circumstance that you find yourself in. And it says, a very present help in trouble. Present, not past. He is there presently with each and every one of us as believers. And he will help you immediately. He's there for help when you find yourself in trouble. Amen. Let's move on to Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God has this to say: Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion, the sides of the north, the city of the great king. So what we see in these verses, it stands out, we see that heavenly Mount Zion is in the north. As we also learn from Isaiah 14. So let's turn to, we're going to look at some cross references to go along with this. And the first one is in Isaiah chapter number 14. And we get to Isaiah 14. I want us to look at verse number 13. The Word of God has this to say: For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And of course, in the context here in Isaiah, here we see the fall of Satan, the fall of Lucifer. Amen. And here it tells us what he said. He has the I statements that he'll ascend up into heaven, and he's going to, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and he's referring to the heavenly Mount Zion. And then also in the book of Ezekiel, if we go to Ezekiel chapter number 1 and verse 4, we read, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and fire enfolding itself," amen, "and a brightness was about it, out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire." Again, this is a reference to the holy heavenly Mount Zion, amen. And then let me give you a couple of other references here. We won't look at them, but I encourage you to look at them. In Job chapter 26, verse 7, and in Psalm 75, 6 to 7. So, hence, the world puts their counterfeit God at the North Pole to see when you've been good and when you've been bad. Amen. And we know that's a reference to Santa Claus. Amen. Alrighty, Psalm 49 with me in verse 17. We read this, "For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him." So what I want us to see about this verse is, so we have the common expression, "You can't take it with you." That's where it comes from. Amen. Now let's look at Psalm 50. Psalm number 15 in verses 14 and 15, the Word of God says this, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thou vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." So what I want us to see about these verses is this: going to God and finding help is conditioned upon one living for God day to day. You want God's help, then you need to live for him day by day. You need to be obedient to him. Amen. You can't just continue to do what you want anytime you want, and then when you find yourself in trouble, amen, expect God to help you. Expect God to hear you. If you want to find help from God, then the condition is you need to live for him day by day. Amen. Now, Psalm 51 has 19 verses in it. We're not going to read them, but what I want you to see about this Psalm, Psalm 51, which is very important. This is David's prayer of repentance after his sin involving Bathsheba and Uriah. It shows why God is more merciful towards some people than others. David is truly brokenhearted over his sin, which is what God seeks. Notice in verse 17 of Psalm 51, the Word of God says this, "The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." Amen. I also, to go along with this verse, I want us to turn to the book of Psalms. Amen. The book of Psalms with me. If you go to Psalms, and we're going to go to Psalm number 34, Psalm 34. When we get to Psalm 34, I want us to look at verse number 18, Psalm 34, 18. We read this, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Let me bring out a New Testament application of this. Amen. "He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." And what I see from this is, for someone to get saved, they need to be humble. Amen. They have to have a contrite spirit. They need to see that they're a sinner and they can't save themselves, and that they need Jesus Christ to believe on him, to pay for the penalties of their sins. Amen. So someone to be saved, we see he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Amen. And then I want us to look at one other place. In the book of Isaiah with me, chapter 66, and verse number 2, we read this. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. You want to get God's attention. We see the condition. You need to have a poor and contrite spirit and tremble at God's words. See, we don't have enough fear of God today. People read the word of God, but they don't tremble at it. They don't see if they're not obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, the Father, amen, and obey the Holy Spirit, as it directs them and tries to get their attention, that there are consequences. Amen. So we see, again, the point we're making here is that God, as we look at David's prayer of repentance after his sin involving Bathsheba and Uriah, is that God is more merciful towards some people than others. People that have truly a broken heart over their sin. David was grieved over the fact that he had lost his joy. Amen. We see that again in verse 12. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. See, when we sin, we break fellowship with God and we don't lose our salvation. Amen. No, we don't. We're still saved, but we lose the fellowship with God, the joy that comes with being saved. Amen. So David was grieved over the fact that he had lost his joy, not merely the fact that he had gotten caught in sin. Amen. And that's the difference between worldly repentance and godly repentance. Worldly repentance is people are upset or grieved over the fact that they got caught in their sin. And godly repentance is that someone is sorry, grieved over the fact that they've sinned against a holy God. All righty, we're in Psalm 51. I want us to look at verse 5. We read this, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, this is a good verse when you're dealing with someone about salvation and they need to be saved and that they're a sinner. This is a good verse to use with Romans chapter 3. Amen. Romans chapter 3. Let's turn there. You probably can quote it. But let's look at it, Romans 3, verse 10. And the Word of God says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then in verse 23 of Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. And then in Romans chapter 5, amen, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Amen. All righty. Let's look at Psalm 55. Psalm 55. And as we go to Psalm 55, when we get there, let's look at verses 12 through 15 and see what the Word of God has to say here. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. And the reference here is, it's prophetic. It's a reference to Judas Iscariot in his portrayal of Jesus Christ. In verse 12, it says, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. He's saying it wasn't an enemy of mine that came against me, that betrayed me. He said, because if it was, then I could have borne it. I could have dealt with it. And he said, neither was but someone who betrayed me that hated me to magnify themselves. And he said, if it was, then I would have hid myself from him. No, it was a man, mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance, and we took sweet counsel together. We walked together to the house of God. Amen. So here we have a prophetic reference to Judas Iscariot. Now, let's look at Psalm. We're in Psalm 52, or rather Psalm 55, rather. Look at verse 22 of Psalm 55. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a great promise here, my dear listener, and God's ability to care for those who commit their worries to him. And we have New Testament companion verses. For example, in Matthew chapter 6, in 25 to 34, let's venture over there to Matthew 6 for a moment. In Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 25 and following. The Lord says, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life and what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, which you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And of course, he goes on and he gives us some, how God takes care of nature, the fowls of the air, how he provides for them, amen. And he talks about how worrying can't change anything. And then he says, look at all the lilies of the field, how they grow and how they spin, how beautifully they arrayed and how they're clothed. And he says, if God's going to do this for nature, amen, he's going to take care of your needs, your physical needs. So don't worry. He said, but you got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he says, he finishes it out and he says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, don't worry, don't borrow worry, amen. Take it a day at a time, amen. Why are you worrying about tomorrow, amen? And then we have another companion verse in the New Testament about God's ability to care for you and I. It's one of my favorites. In Philippians chapter number 4, Philippians chapter number 4, and we want to look at verses 6 and 7 of Philippians 4. We read this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, when circumstances come and trouble comes and trials and tribulations come and we get all in the flesh and we hit the panic button, amen, pray to God that he will take you right to this verse. Be careful for nothing, amen. Don't worry. Don't worry about a thing. But take what's troubling you, we're told, to God in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving to God, Thank God that you can come to him with your troubles. Thank God that he's listening to you, and thank God he's going to solve your problem. Amen. And then we find if you do that, the result is this: the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You know, they'll say, how can you be so peaceful, have so much peace while you're going through whatever you're going through? See, it's beyond human understanding how you can be peaceful through trials, number one. And then also, because you've prayed, you've gone to God, you've given him thanks, amen, this peace that he's going to give you will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ will keep your heart and minds peaceful, will get you through it, will not let you go bananas or have a breakdown or whatever it may be. Amen. Be full of anxiety. And then finally, 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, we read this: casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. A very easy verse to memorize. See, you hide it in your heart, you meditate on it so you won't sin against God. Worry is sinning. When you worry, God tells us not to worry, so you're being disobedient to him when you worry. So this is a good verse along with the other ones we've looked at to memorize. Very easy. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. So you should memorize this. So when you're going through something, a circumstance, a trial, a tribulation, amen, don't let it overwhelm you. Claim the promise of God. He said, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. All right, let's move on in our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. We're going to turn to Psalm 58 in verse number 8. Word of God says, as a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. So we see, notice the term in this verse. Notice the term pass away. And this is used in reference to death, just as we use it today. We say that someone has passed away. Amen. All righty. Psalm 64 with me. Psalm 64, verse 3. We read this in the Word of God: who whet their tongue like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. So we speak of someone, as we read this verse, the expression, someone shooting off their mouth. Amen. Someone shooting off their mouth. Alrighty. Now, Psalm 66, verse number 18. Psalm 66, verse number 18. The Word of God has this: if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Again, notice it has to do with the heart. Amen. God looks at the heart. Man can't look at someone's heart, but God can. And this verse is crucial. Amen, is it not? Because what we're being told here is one of the reasons you can see why your prayers go unanswered. If you're regarding iniquity in your heart, amen, God's not going to hear you. Amen. When you regard iniquity in your heart, that means you're being disobedient to God, and God's not going to hear his disobedient children. Amen. So maybe one of the reasons you seems like your prayers are not getting answered is because you're regarding iniquity in your heart. You're regarding it. You're thinking about doing it. Amen. You're thinking about being disobedient and going against the Lord. That's where you sin, in your heart. Amen. That's where the sin emanates from your heart. Amen. And God looks at your heart and mine heart. Now, Psalm 68, 35 verses in the psalm, and we're not going to read them all, but the whole chapter is on the second coming of Christ. The strong verses are verse 1, notice. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. Verse 2. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. And this is exactly what's going to happen to the enemies of God when he returns. Amen. They're going to be scattered. They're going to flee. They're going to melt as wax because he's going to come with fire the second time. Verse 4. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, rejoice before him. Then verses 7 and 9, O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God, even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. So we're going to see also here, we're going to have earthquakes and upheaval. Amen. And then also after his coming, there'll be a rain to replenish the earth. Amen. After he comes on the earth and he sets up his kingdom. Then we see in verses 14 through 18, when the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, a high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desired to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, the Lord God might dwell among them. And then in verse 21, we read, but God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such as one as goeth on still in his trespasses. All these things are going to take place. 23. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea. Regathering of Israel. Amen. The regathering of the Israel. Both those that are alive and those will be resurrected as well. And then 29. Because thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto him. The kings of the nations will bring presents unto the Lord God Almighty at his second coming. It says in verse 31, princes shall come out of Egypt, Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, you kingdoms of the earth, O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, that a mighty voice. Amen. So we see this psalm here has to do with the second coming of Christ. Well, we've run out of time today. I hope you'll continue to join me as we look at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible.